Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We gonna celebrate your party with you. Come on now.
Celebration.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So, you find yourself listening to this song, Celebration, by Kool and the Gang. That can only mean one of two things. Either you're a political candidate who has just finished a speech and you're being showered with confetti and balloons, or you're at a wedding reception. Every cheesy wedding band can play Celebration, and a few recent top 40 hits, and the chicken dance. But some wedding bands are trying to break that stereotype with repertoire that includes old jazz, string quartet versions of pop hits, new wave from the 1980s. Now, wedding season is months away, but wedding planning season is very much upon us. And here to share the risks and rewards of these anti-wedding band wedding bands are musician Aaron Thurston from the band The Engagements. He joins me here in the studio. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, John.
And on the line, wedding planner Karen Bussen, who is author of Simple Stunning Wedding series. Karen, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Aaron, let me start with you. What is the kind of the stereo? I mean, there is kind of a stigma attached to the term wedding band, isn't there?
There is, yeah. Well, it seems like it, right? I never wanted any of our bands to be considered wedding bands for that very reason. I went out of my way to not have a typical wedding band
or to have a wedding band at all. But these bands do play weddings.
We all play weddings. Yeah, this is a wedding band company that we're running at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the term anti-wedding band, I think, describes us really well. But we're all bands that you know, are real bands that are actually, like, playing. You know, we play out. Mm-hmm. We actually enjoy playing the songs we play. I think the stigma that comes with wedding bands is the idea that this guy's up there, and everybody can kind of tell they don't really believe what they're doing.
So would you guys play Celebration?
I will say that one of the very first weddings, I thought we had to play Celebration. So we did it. And that's one of the things I've learned is actually no one really needs that. Granted, I love that song. I was bopping to it when we came in. But
okay.
But yeah, there's, you know, it's been played and played and played. And if you're not feeling it, then why play it?
So is there a kind of an industry that you feel that you're pushing back against somehow?
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, I think it's almost like buying a car. It's one of those things that doesn't come up very often. For people, I can't imagine what it's like shopping for anything for your wedding, but I've termed it the wedding industrial complex. It's like people are, you know, and there's all this entire industry is set up to sell things to you that you really don't need.
Mm.
And I think people are pushing back against that.
All right, Karen, you heard Aaron use the term wedding industrial complex. Is there such a thing?
Well, I mean, certainly a wedding is a very, you know, specific type of party, and certainly, yes, there are a lot of people involved in really producing what ends up, you know, often being maybe one of the most theatrical, you know, events in a person's life in terms of having a big group of people and having to feed them and entertain them and provide a lot of different, you know, different elements. So certainly I think there's always that danger of things kind of falling into a rut. But what I think is great is that in addition to bands and, you know, certain other vendors, photographers, everything, I think the whole industry is kind of changing and looking forward. And it's largely a result of couples who now are really into personalizing their ceremonies. They want it to be a reflection of them, of their style, of their personalities, their interests, everything from music to food. I mean, I just think that they really are becoming much more involved in the process. So, you know, whereas you say that, you know, people are trying to sell them things, I think that may be true, but couples are also kind of coming to the table with a vision for what they want that is a lot more personal.
All right, now let me ask you both then, what makes for, well, a good wedding band, but maybe let me ask with a more interesting question. What makes a bad wedding band? Aaron?
I think we all know what makes a bad wedding band. But, you know, at the
I want to hear you spell it out.
You know what? A friend of mine said to me, Jamie from the Dexter Lake Club Band, who's also going to be at the event that we're going to talk about in a little while, mentioned to me that you know, it's not really the bride and the groom at the end of the night, they're going to feel like it was the greatest night no matter. You know, as long as everything goes well, it's the guest. That's who you really want to ask. How was the wedding band? You know, they're going to be truthful. And I think, you know, we've all seen it before. These bands, they're phoning it in. They just don't really. And there's nothing against that. In fact, many of the people in the engagements have
Which
played.
Which is your band.
Yeah, in my band, have played in bands like this. It's just we've just happened upon this thing that we just discovered by accident that a lot of people just don't want that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Karen, do you agree?
Absolutely, and I think you know, when you ask what makes a bad wedding band, I think it's things that are cliche, from everything from just those songs that, you know, maybe we really don't necessarily need to hear, to also to like obnoxious emceeing skills, where, you know, if I never hear someone say "Let me hear you scream,"
yeah,
again, you know, it'll be too soon, or you know, just it's like sort of things that just feel formulaic, where mm-hmm. it feels like you're just kind of plodding along to this formula that was there before your wedding and is going to be there after your wedding. So to me, you know, that and a ruffly shirt and a tuxedo.
Totally. Exactly.
Okay. Now, for folks who are in the midst of wedding planning and are looking for something a little different sound-wise, Aaron's band, The Engagements, and some of the other groups that he's associated with are part of a 9-band showcase this weekend called Wedding Crashers, and it takes place this Sunday at the Bell House in Brooklyn. And here is that band, The Engagements, with their cover of The Cure's Close to Me.
I wish I stayed asleep today, yeah. I thought this day would never end. I never thought this night could ever be this close to me, yeah.
The Engagements, and that certainly is not the Alley Cat or the Chicken Dance. It's The Cure's Close to Me being done by The Engagements. Now, one of the other things that Aaron was talking about was some of these bands are real bands. They play out, they have records, they play in clubs. One of those is the Raya Brass Band, drawing on Eastern European and Balkan music, and they are also a part of this Wedding Crashers event taking place Sunday afternoon. That is the Raya Brass Band and a Čoček, which is a traditional Balkan dance. And this band is part of this 9-group showcase, Wedding Crashers, Sunday afternoon at the Bell House in Brooklyn, which Aaron Thurston's band, The Engagements, is also a part of. Karen Busson's with us. She's an event and wedding planner based here in New York and author of Simple Stunning Wedding Series. And, you know, who's this event on Sunday for? Is this... I mean, you were talking before, Aaron, about it's really for the guests, but, you know, right now you have to be aiming at the brides and grooms.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
And is it, I mean, are we talking, like, hipster brides and grooms, or?
What's a hipster?
Well, that's
no, I'm
a good
just kidding. No, you know, I think it's really just people that seek out our bands are typically people who are, like, love food, like a really into it. They just want really good food, really good music. They want the, no matter what, number one, they want it to be fun. And like Karen said, getting rid of the formula is like, you know, you have to have a plan, but letting things happen, I think is job, you know, that's one of the number one priorities.
Is there a danger, Karen, to going, I mean, I'm listening to, you know, the Raya Brass Band. I have, you know, some of their music, and, you know, they play these wild dances from Eastern Europe, which are traditionally played at Eastern European weddings. But we Americans are not used to dancing to things in, like, fives and sevens. You know, we dance in 4/4 time.
Yes.
Can you go a little too far afield?
Okay. See, this is a great point, and this is the thing that we have to always keep in mind. Obviously, music is very personal, and everyone has their own favorites and their own tastes, and wants to bring, you know, a special flavor to the wedding. But a wedding is an inclusive event. It's a community affair, really. It's multi-generational. You know, grandma's going to be there, and your young, hip, cool friends are going to be there. So if you want everyone to party and dance and have a great time, the one thing that you have to do is to really, you know, keep in mind a sense of inclusion. So it's maybe not the best time to play, you know, 4 solid hours of only one type of music, whether that's Cuban music or whether that's Eastern European dance music. So if you want to have that flavor, I think it's fantastic. We have a couple coming up in May who are getting married, who are going, you know, the groom is from Cuba, and so his family is all from Cuba, and we're going to have an incredible Cuban band to play largely for a part of the evening, but then we're also going to have a really hot DJ to just weave in some very cool other stuff so that, you know, everyone feels included. So I think that's just, you know, I had another couple a couple of years ago who loved 90s alternative rock. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So do I. But you don't want 4 solid hours of it at your wedding reception, because then it's only you and your closest 20 friends who are filling the dance floor. And everyone else feels a little bit out of it after the 5th, 6th, 7th, you know, song. Mm-hmm. So it's about including everyone, but doing it in a way that, you know, I think as Aaron was saying, you know, just eliminate those things that have maybe just been played to death, and
exactly.
Still have some music that's recognizable and fun and inclusive and make it a good time for all.
So if both bride and groom are big Pavement fans, maybe one or two Pavement songs, and then...
You know, what I always suggest with that is, you know, you find the moments to do those things. For example, you know, when you're, if you're having a dinner and you're dancing, you know, during the dinner portion of the evening, while you're eating, you can always do some of your more unusual musical tastes that, you know, things that maybe aren't really heavy dancey stuff or mm-hmm. really heavy sounds or metal or whatever. You know, you have conversational kind of background tapestry music. And then, you know, the dance tunes are really, I think, driven to bring people to the dance floor.
All right. We're speaking with Karen Busson, an event and wedding planner based here in New York. Aaron Thurston is a drummer in the band The Engagements and manages some other non-traditional wedding bands like this group, the Loyals. And Soundcheck listeners, have you attended a wedding with a kind of cheesy band, or did you go to one with a non-traditional band, one that was perhaps really great? We want to hear about your experiences, good and bad, with wedding bands. You can leave a comment at wnyc.org/soundcheck or give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And we'll take some of your calls and some of your comments in just a couple of minutes, and we'll hear more on the risks and rewards of brides and brides, grooms and grooms, all using offbeat music at weddings. And again, leave a comment on our website, wnyc.org/soundcheck.
Come on, pretty baby, you gotta do it yourself.
This is Soundcheck, and unfortunately, we're going to conclude today with a little bit of sad news. Davy Jones, the lead singer of the Monkees, died today at the age of 66 in Florida, reportedly of a heart attack. He, of course, best known as the lead singer of the Monkees, the made-for-TV group whose show ran on NBC from 1966 to 68. Lots of hit records on their part. Davy Jones, dead at the age of 66.
Homecoming queen. You once thought of me as a white knight.